Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Between Realities. This is episode 13. My name is Alex VR, and I am joined here by my co-host, Skiva. Skiva, how the hell are you, sir?
I'm good, dude. I am good. I've gotten to play a lot of great VR this week. So I'm great. It's all I need to be happy.
I have too. There's a lot about this week. We're really excited. We're actually a couple of weeks behind catching up on some news. We're not going to talk about stuff that's 2 weeks old, but we didn't talk any news last week. We had the episode with Kent Bai. If you haven't watched that, go watch it. It is super deep, super intense, and super, super good. It was a pleasure to have him on the show. Thanks again to Kent for joining us for our last episode. And I'll extend a pre-thank you to the guest that we have on our show today. Waiting in the wings with us is the owner and operator of a YouTube channel that is like dedicated to helping people maximize the living shit out of their quest and make it as awesome as possible. And he's also the operator of a Facebook group that has almost 20,000 members right now that is solely dedicated to Oculus. So, I definitely want to pick this guy's brain and welcome with me to the show, Mr. Ty Hurd.
Yay! What's up, Ty? How you doing, man?
How's it going, guys?
Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yeah,
we're excited to have you. I know I've benefited from your videos when I was just getting into doing the initial Beat Saber modding, and Side Quest first came out. You were like the dude on the scene, like literally helping everyone. Like people would be like commenting on your channel, and you're like in there like PMing with people and stuff. You're like the hero that people didn't deserve, but the hero that people needed. You know, and, I will thank you on behalf of everyone for that.
Yeah, happy to help. It's been a huge passion. You know, I love just the huge community. The Facebook group is awesome. And yeah, like you said, it's almost to 20,000 members, which is amazing. You know, it's such a good community. I remember when I first started it, talking with some of the members saying, you know, I wonder if we'll ever hit 10,000 members. Mm-hmm. And now that we're almost up to 20K. So that's cool. And it's a good place for people to come and learn and share and, you know, make friends with like-minded people. And yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I joined it before I knew that you had a YouTube channel or anything. It's, you know, the Oculus Quest was new on the scene, and that was like the way to get like the latest news and like the quickest happenings, you know. It's like getting into a group with people and see what everybody's talking about and stuff. James and Danny Hunkley, welcome guys to the show. Are you in Tycho Tech's Facebook group or what? You got to be one of these 20,000 people, right?
Yeah, I know I am. I'm definitely a fan. I love the Quest, obviously, and I love anyone that helps support it, because it's an amazing headset that needs to grow. We need more players. We need more people to hop in there and really just blow their minds with what this thing can do.
Mm-hmm. And before we get too far into like Quest stuff, I'm curious, are you also a PC VR user? Like, do you have a PC that plays games, or do you primarily use the Quest?
I use the Quest entirely, even when I use it on my PC. So I'm a big fan of virtual desktop. So if I am going to do some PC VR, going to be using virtual desktop for it. But primarily, I like the freedom of just being completely wireless. And, you know, I'm not a huge gamer. I'm very casual. Although I'm very passionate about it, but I don't, you know, want to set up a whole space dedicated to it and have a room with sensors. And, you know, I might want to just get on and play 5 minutes of Beat Saber or do a 30-minute workout really quick in Box VR and do it wherever in my house. You know, maybe I'm like, I'm going to go down to the basement, get away from the wife and the kid where it's quiet, or I just want to do it in the living room. So I just love the portability and, you know, the option to take it to a buddy's house. Let me show them what virtual reality is all about. And but every now and then I will use virtual desktop, which is the way to go, I think, with PC VR. So, you know, I've been playing a little Alex Half-Life, which is great. But other than that, mostly I just stick straight to the all-in-one wireless experience.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So if you're not a huge gamer, like what was it that like really hooked you? Like what's your primary app? Like what do you use the Quest for primarily yourself?
a lot of media consumption, so I do like watching movies. The 3D effect is the best in a VR headset where you have two separate lenses to achieve that stereoscopic, you know, 3D effect. You're not going to get the same thing looking through the glasses in a 3D theater, you know, because it's basically just flashing left and right. That's why people tend to get nauseous sometimes in the 3D theaters. Whereas if you wear a headset, you've got a dedicated image for your right, dedicated image for your left, and you get a really, really good 3D effect. So I do like consuming media. I like exercise. Beat Saber, huge, huge fan of Beat Saber. I've done quite a few mods, you know, like sabers and signs and things like that.
Yeah, the sign is awesome.
Beat Saber. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so you know, I've done a ton of signs for Beat Saber, and one of the things that really kind of attracted me to the Oculus was first the Go, and it was really that it was based on Android, and I'm very familiar with the Android ecosystem, and I've been rooting phones forever, and I saw, okay, this is based on Android, this is going to be something that we're going to be able to fiddle with, we'll be able to hack it, and so I jumped in to the Oculus Go, got it the day that it launched, was really active in the Oculus Go community, which is run by Facebook, on Facebook there, and then when I heard that, you know, Quest or Santa Cruz at that time was coming out, so the code name Santa Cruz. And I just was really, really wanting something that would be all encompassing with the 6 degrees of freedom, you know, full hand tracking, full body tracking. That was obviously something the Go was lacking.
Yeah.
So yeah, when the Quest came out, I was, you know, Best Buy first thing in the morning, got it the day that it launched. And I'd actually started the Facebook group about a month before that in anticipation of it coming out. I didn't do anything to grow the group. I didn't invite anybody. And then the day it launched, I just sent out, you know, a couple notes on the Oculus Go group. Hey, we've got this Quest group, which was great because a lot of the users in the Go group were like, I'm so sick of hearing about the Quest. Why don't you guys go start your own group? And I was like, I got a group for that. So right. Come on over. If you're into the Quest and you're tired of hearing about, or you're into the Go and you're tired of hearing about the Quest, come over here and we can just keep this strictly Quest related. Right. So that's yeah, kind of like where I got my start in it right there. And then it's just been a lot of fun helping people. You know, I get a question, how do I do this? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Hold my beer. And I will, you know, I will go, you know, and I'm like, okay, guys, you could Google it too. But for me, I get to learn something new about it. I get to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then the next time I'm approached with the same question, somebody's like, hey, how do you do this? I'm like, hi, I know this one. And then I can help someone out. So it's like constant, you know, just a challenge to solve puzzles, which is something that I'm really into. And I really like helping people in the community. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's great, man. Hey, what's up, Tyrael Wood in the chat? How's it going, brother? We're a huge fan of you, of course. He was on our
Absolutely.
Show earlier.
How you doing,
and
buddy?
Mateo 311, what's up, brother? Good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, guys? Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are the real deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this group is getting big. There's like 20,000 people there. Obviously, now you kind of started this Etsy shop based off of some 3D printing that you've been doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
go ahead. Yeah, the Etsy thing, it just kind of, I should have been doing this since day one. I had always been into like building and fabricating and modding the crap out of my Quest. If you know, if you're a channel regular, you've watched my channel, you know, I've done tons of mods and a lot of physical mods, you know, like making facial interfaces, modifying physical parts of the Quest itself. And a few months back, I picked up an Ender 3 Pro 3D printer and fell in love with it. 3D printing is just, it's so much fun. There's so much that you can do with it. And then I just, you know, started using parts that were like Creative Commons license that you could, you know, legally use and resell. And then I've designed a couple things myself. And it blew up. So I started the Etsy store the 2nd of April. So I think it's been a month and a day. And between selling on Etsy and Facebook, I got like 250 orders or something like that. So it's just been running. Now I'm up to 5 printers, running them nonstop.
That's badass. And these are like peripherals and like attachments. Like I would say, if I had to guess, I would say that the most popular one would be that ping pong paddle.
The paddle's the most popular, yeah, for sure. And if you're an 11 table tennis player, you're definitely going to want it. it's the most immersive thing that I've come across in VR. You hold the paddle, I mean, and it's weighted right, and it feels like you're holding a real ping pong paddle. And to hold an object and to be able to then see it in VR and have that tactile feeling in your hand, it's mm-hmm. one of the most huge. Immersive things I've come across. It is. Another big seller is we've got these guns, and it's just, you know, it adds weight. It feels like you're holding a gun. It's kind of silly because you can't see it, but they're mm-hmm. front heavy, so when you move, you know, it really feels like you're wielding a couple of pistols. I think Autica is great because when you know you get into the rhythm of it, you've actually got the weighted ends, so the guns are good. But yeah, paddle hand down. If you like 11, get the paddle. It's great.
You know, man,
I love 11 table tennis. I know it's just table yeah. tennis, and people are like, why do you make such a big deal out of table tennis? But this is some legit shit, right? The physics in this game are insane. You can spin the ball if you do it right. Like, it's just so good.
Yeah, with you get that overhand so twist and
yep. You don't even have to play anybody. Like, you can just hop in, and the first thing you see is like your Oculus avatar, and you smack the ball in, and it'll just continuously hit the ball back at you. So you don't even have to hop into a game. You can just sit there and do that for a while. It's a really good game, man.
And it's
really
multiplayer. Against the wall and play by yeah. yourself. Yeah. 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 And multiplayer is great.
It is. It's a
fantastic
game.
That's what makes it awesome for me. Mm-hmm. Real quick, we'll say hi to Sweaty Nugget JJ in the channel chat. This is not pre-recorded. It's live, and we're saying hello to you. Yes. And Chatty, it's good to see you. James VR Mang, I'll give him credit for this, but I had this one loaded. I was really excited to ask Ty about this. So James in the chat says, "Hey Ty, you mentioned that you like exercising in VR. Do you think the Texas Fit gets you fit? And have you tried Supernatural?"
I have not tried Supernatural. I have it. I have not tried it. The devs gave me a little bit of an extension on the free trial, so I've got some time to try it. It looks really good to me from what I've seen. I know that some people have been kind of bashing on the monthly subscription model for it, and I can't really say without trying it, but to be 100% honest, I do feel like maybe $20 a month might be a little bit steep for that, but a lot of people pay more than that for a monthly gym membership. And right now you can't go to the gym. And from what I understand, they have fresh content coming out every single day. There's a new workout that they're releasing, and there is licensed music in this. So, yeah. You know, they've got to pay the artists creating the music that they're using. So I can see why mm-hmm. there is a need to have this kind of expensive subscription model. But I have not tried it. But James, to answer your question, as far as do I think the tech is there to get you fit? Yeah. I mean, yeah, man, like go play even just Beat Saber for 30 minutes and then go play Pistol Whip for 30 minutes. And the next day you mm-hmm. are going to be sore. You're going to be yeah. feeling it. I mean, absolutely. You do that, you know, 5 days a week. Now you're not going to get swole, but your cardio is going to be good. You're going to get tone. Yeah, absolutely. VR is a great medium for exercise and physical fitness. Absolutely. And it's just getting better and better. And I really should try Supernatural because I think that might be the next, you know, kind of step towards that evolution.
Have you had the chance to get in there, Skiva?
You know, I haven't. And I really wanted to. There's just so many things I wanted to play to talk about today. And, you know, there is a certain game we'll talk about later that has just been sucking me back in time after time, and it just won't let me stop playing it.
And before we get there,
I want to know about your Supernatural. Yeah,
I definitely want to give my two cents on it because I feel like everybody was quick to talk about this game and never fucking played it. You know, like everyone's mm-hmm. like, nope, it sucks. It's a subscription. It'll never work. Absolutely not. Never. But have never even played the game. You know, mm-hmm. like you really need to play it before you can weigh in heavily on mm-hmm. your opinion on the matter. And is $20 too much? Yeah. Probably. Okay. That's really expensive. And it's really hard to sell people on that price point. But it is really, really good. It's really good. Like, it feels great. It feels like Beat Saber, whatever. It feels like Beat Saber. It's not quite as attacky, though. It's a little more flowy. And it's every song is a 360 song. So you're always spinning, mm-hmm. going around in 360 and facing different directions. The environments are like the best Google images you've seen, you know, like the best ones, like really, really good looking almost like 3D, like it has a 3D feel, but it's not like like a virtual environment. You know, it's not like Half-Life Alyx where you truly feel like you're there. It's like you still kind of
like
feel
real VR fishing environments.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But it was a goddamn good workout, a really good workout. And, you know, if you are the kind of person who would spend money on a gym membership or a fitness machine or something like that, I think the $20 a month is justifiable, especially if you're the kind of person who loves like the popular music and you really need that motivation. I initially thought that the trainer was going to annoy me because I can get on Beat Saber, go Expert Plus and rip that shit up and have no problem going for an hour and I don't need anybody to tell me to go harder. Like I know I'm going hard, you know, but Supernatural, I thought I was going to be annoyed. I actually found myself taking her advice. You know, she'd be like, okay, now make sure your back is straight and let's really fucking hit these ones hard this time. She didn't say fuck, but she's like, let's hit them hard this time. And like, I'm like, all right, let's do it. And I was like right there with her, you know? So is $20 too much? Yeah, they should drop that shit to like 10. I think $10 would be an easy pickup because it's fresh content, always rolling in. I would like it to succeed because I feel like it is justifiable to replace your gym membership if you're like the kind of person who would buy it but has a hard time going, has a hard time finding the motivation, but you love VR. You know, like it's built for.
Sounds like it's made for me. I can't wait to try it. Totally made it.
And you know, like my parents would probably love it too. Like the people who aren't huge gamers, right? Like Ty, I think Ty would probably love it if he's the guy who likes to just throw the headset on, play Beat Saber for 15 minutes. You can choose how intense your workout is, and you get in there, and there's no level fail. Oh, the other thing that really makes it cool, and then we'll move on, is the adaptive difficulty. Like if you start missing them, it'll pump the brakes and like make the level easier and like give you more time to get to everything and like make it easier to pull it off. And if you're crushing it, it'll be like, all right, motherfucker, let's go, like ramps it up. It starts off as easy and then ends as Expert Plus if you have the skill to do it. So it keeps you in that place where you're able to hit everything and basically makes you work for it. And it really does give a level of motivation to work hard that I haven't experienced in another game. And I do really hope that it succeeds. I don't think I'm going to spend $20 a month, though.
Let me ask you this. You know, for me, $20 a month is worth it to have an exercise routine, have, you know, a trainer in there and stuff. But I don't really get like $20 a month. And this is the introductory price. This is what they said. This is the introductory price, right? They're not paying any rent. There's no equipment. There's no employees to pay. There's no place to clean up. Dude, $20 a month. And I know that's what everyone harps on. And, sorry to be a parrot, but like really, it's too much. And for them to say that that's the introductory price, I feel like that was also, you know, them kind of dooming themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll have to see where it goes as far as their pricing model goes. But they do have rent. I mean, they've got a building somewhere they're working out of. And I really think a bulk of the cost is not going to pay the developers. It's going towards these licensing agreements, which is why content's only available in Canada and the U.S. right now. So not even all of North America.
It's great.
Due to these licensing, these deals. In fact, I want to jump up and say hi to Christine. She's one of the mods from our Facebook group. She's in the chat right now.
What's up, Christine?
Hey, Christine. And then, so she mentions that she'd like to see purchasing packs so that you can buy it when you have the extra money. And I think that would make sense for them to maybe try to monetize this more through DLCs a little bit, kind of like you see. I mean, Beat Saber's the worst. You spend a lot in the game and there's constant DLCs. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a huge fan of that, but maybe they bring it down to a freemium model where they can offer it, you know, monthly for free with bare bones. And then you can, you know, buy a DLC or subscribe to a trainer level.
Maybe like a base price. Maybe like you buy in at $20, you know, you don't pay that again, and that gives you your bare bones experience. And then when you realize that you can't live without Supernatural, then you're willing to pay it. Like, I personally think that freemium is the best way to deliver content, because if your shit is good, people will spend money on on irrelevant crap. They will spend money on aesthetics. They will spend money on you know, a funny hat if it's there for a couple bucks, because the game is free and they enjoy it. If you enjoy something, you have no problem supporting it, and you have no problem giving you something to even make your experience even more enriched, especially when you didn't buy that shit in the first place. So I actually agree with you 100%. I think freemium is a really good way to go about something.
Yeah, so we'll see. I know that the devs are listening to this. You know, I know some of the people kind of behind it, and I know that they've got their ear to the ground, and they're paying attention to the feedback that they're getting. So time will tell. We'll see over the next couple of months. I mean, obviously we're not going to see any dramatic changes quickly, because they do have contracts in place with the talent for all of the, you know, the music. So they can't just say, hey guys, you know, we're backing out of this contract. Sorry, we're changing this at this point. I know it's been in the works for a while. So we'll see. But I think, yeah, freemium model would be great. Or even just $10 a month. Now, there's an advantage to paying a monthly membership fee. It gets you to do it, because otherwise you feel like you're wasting money. Like, I have done the gym in the past, and the only reason I would go is because, like, oh, man, God damn it, I'm not wasting this, you know, $30 this month. It's, I got to really get to the gym. I got to do it. I got to make it worth my money. So that could be a benefit to some people, knowing that they've shelled out their hard-earned $20 that month. They're going to get their asses off the couch and they're going to exercise, because they want to get their money's worth. And this could be something behind their decision to create this sort of pricing model. You know, this might've been something that they've already thought about and said, you know, people that pay monthly, they tend to use it because they feel they need to do that to get their money's worth. And then maybe they're more loyal. I don't know. I mean, they might've done their market research and said, you know, and they're not going to stop paying, because if they stop paying, then they've admitted defeat. They know they're not going to do it anymore, which is why people will pay for 12 months worth of a gym membership and go the first month. And then they pay the next month, and they're like, no, I can't cancel, because, man, I'm going next week. I'm going next week. Mm-hmm. And then they get sucked into the loop where they just keep paying, but they can't cancel because they gotta go. Otherwise, they're lazy asses. And
that's a really good point, dude. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. And the thing is like, yeah, it's exercise. Like, Supernatural is intended to be exercise, and that's very important to remember. But guess what? It's as fun as a game. Like, it's like going to the gym, but you're playing a VR game. Like, there is definitely value there. So let's hope they succeed. Let's hope they hear us and find a new way to do this, because you don't want to piss everybody off. All right. The Sonic movie showed a trailer. Everybody hated Sonic. They listened to them. They changed Sonic, and then everybody loved the movie. I loved it. I saw it in theaters. They got my money. So listen, we'll buy it. Just make it work for the way people are comfortable purchasing stuff right now, and maybe transition later once you get more people hooked or something. I don't know, but let's get into some news, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So coming up here, we got PSVR is getting some serious love this show. PSVR has been kind of in a slump of nothing new for a little while, as Sony transitions over to start selling PS5s. They haven't really been pushing PSVR stuff too hard, even though it's the most adopted headset on the planet. But one of the things that is coming, is Pistol Whip, man. And Pistol Whip, as we all know, is a fantastic game. Man, my legs have never burned so much from playing a VR game. And man, I really, really, really got into this game. It's great. It's so much fun. It makes you want to go in and try again and try again and better your score. You know, it just makes you feel like a badass. It really, really does. And, you know, people complain about the auto aim feature that you can turn off, and people like to only play Deadeye, but I gotta tell people, like, that's not what this game's about. This game is about making you feel like a badass, and the points reflect whether you hit that guy auto aim, whether you hit him center in the head, whether you hit him in the chest, and it really is all tracked whether that's on or not. This game is just phenomenal, though. I can't recommend it enough. I'm excited for everyone on PlayStation to get this,
which is a lot of people.
This looks great.
Have you messed around with the PSVR, Ty?
No.
No, there's some good stuff there, man. Do you have a PS4 or no? Probably not. You're not a gamer, right?
No, I've got an old Xbox. That's it.
Yeah, dude. When you see it like chilling at the garage sale, you know, or like you see it floating on OfferUp for like, you know, $200 with the system and the headset, just grab that shit because there is some seriously awesome stuff to experience on PSVR.
It really is.
I don't go too often anymore now that I have a Quest and a PC VR setup, mainly because it's just like blurry in a way that I can't get a clarity like I can on these other headsets. But the graphical fidelity and like the lighting and all of that on PSVR is excellent, dude. It's like a PC VR experience in a lot of ways, with the exception of the haptic, the optical tracking. But to Skiva's point, which made me laugh like 10 minutes after he made the joke, it's the most adopted headset out there. Like many people have PSVRs, and there's not a ton, an overwhelming amount of experiences there. And I'm happy that we have the opportunity to talk about PSVR on this show today, because Pistol Whip is amazing. It's a perfect fit for PSVR, because never are you truly encouraged to like look in the other direction a whole lot. Like, you pretty much are looking forward the whole time, and you can turn around. That's encouraged in PSVR, but like, it's tracking you from the front, so it gives you a good opportunity to just kind of stay planted and there's
not
just
a lot of twisting all the way around to get tangled up.
Right. And, you know, for the most part, it's a one-handed experience, right? Like, you just shoot with the one gun primarily. So I feel like you could like get your side going, keep that optical and the camera better. It's a perfect fit. And everyone who has a PSVR, get ready, because this game is badass and you're going to love it.
You're gonna love it, man. You have so much fun. This is, you know, when it comes to burning some calories in VR, this is definitely one of the top, for sure. And it's great in every way.
Oh yeah,
I can't say enough good things about it.
I thought about getting a the PlayStation VR, but now I'm kind of like, all right, well, I got to hold out for PS5, and the next gen is going to be sick, I'm sure. It's just
It is. And speaking of the next gen, they just released some video of the new prototypes. They're prototyping out the new controllers for the PSVR, and I can't believe they actually put this out. But yeah, they're showing some of their finger tracking technology. Now, this is not the PSVR final design. This is them testing. So, you know, don't look at this and go, this is ugly. But I mean, look at the technology here. Look at the finger tracking. You know, we have the Valve Index controllers that track our fingers and our hands, and they work pretty good. You know, they're not perfect by any means. This looks pretty good. You know, and it's for PlayStation. And man, the one thing out of everything that really puts the PSVR experience down is the Move controllers. There's no thumbsticks. It's hard to interact with your game, and it's, you know, they're really old controllers, and they made it work, and you know, they dip their toes in the water, and things are biting. So we'll see. They're working on some good stuff right now. I'm really excited to see where this goes, because I'll tell you what, man, when the PSVR 2 comes out, I am going to go through and I'm going to replay every PSVR game, because there's so many good exclusives, man. There's so many good exclusives. And it's just hindered by the terrible controllers, you know.
Best experiences on PSVR right now are Aim controller, like Firewall Zero Hour,
definitely,
Farpoint. Those games are so awesome, because the Aim controller makes you feel like you have a gun in your hand, and you get dual analogs on both thumbs, which is completely lacking from the Moves. So you can move the way you know how to move in a video game and aim with the gun controller, and it is awesome. Firewall Zero Hour is so fun. Even now, like if I get the message from somebody and they're like, hey, you know, we're playing Firewall, I'm gonna be like, all right, boom, I'll go. Because it's just amazing. I've spent hundreds of hours with Aim controller in my hands. So I would definitely recommend Aim controller assisted games, Farpoint, Firewall Zero Hour, and the up and coming what's that game called that's coming up that has that Aim controller?
Solaris, I think.
No, that one that's going to be cross-platform that we talked about with Matteo on the show.
I'll come up with it later. Yeah, for sure. Maybe someone in the chat will Army Taylor might be in the chat. But anyway, yeah, these controllers, though, what do you think about these controllers and just the way they're tracking? I mean, they really look a step above the Index controllers, which is pretty crazy.
It looks awesome.
Oh, yeah, that does look cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I would expect it to at least be Index level, you know, especially because Sony's not just some like bullshit company. Like they got to take a break with the PlayStation 4 technology when it came to the new controllers and shit. They didn't make a controller for the PlayStation VR. So they've had all this time to dial their shit in. And Sony is, you know, we expect Sony to do good stuff. So I expect it to be good. I expect the finger tracking to work really, really well. And I expect it also to give me some dual analogs and
it'll be wireless.
And
so they're working on that high bandwidth line of sight wireless transmission. So it's, you know, you can't go to another room or anything like that, but apparently it's going to have crazy throughput, you know, really high bandwidth. And as long as your console can see the headset, then it's supposed to, I mean, those are early leaks, but I would be very surprised if PlayStation came out with a tethered headset at this point. You know, I think they know they need to go wireless. And that's going to be a big game changer, because I think you're going to have PC quality VR that is going to be wireless. Now, we're really close to that already with virtual desktop. I mean, virtual desktop works great. I don't know why anybody messes with the Link cable. Yeah, and there's all the in the group. There's so many people like, nah, you gotta do Link. It's so much better. Have you tried virtual? No, it's but it's better because it's wired. It's I'm like, see, not. You haven't tried it, dude. It's the same. It's
not even. It's not even the same. Wireless. It's it looks better in virtual desktop. Yeah, the clarity's better.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're gonna see with the next PlayStation headset. So that's kind of one of the reasons I didn't get a PlayStation now, because I've thought about it. And I was curious, you know, I was this close to picking up an Index, but I spent that money. Actually, I'm waiting on a new camera for the studio.
Nice.
So
nice.
I've been having problems with this one. And so, yeah,
nice.
Better investment than another VR headset.
Tom,
oh man, the Index is nice.
Thanks for joining us, man. And Sweaty Nugget JJ says, so basically VR is trying to make the experience as real as possible. Yeah. That's definitely what it's trying to do, baby.
Yep.
That is what it's trying to do. And it looks like you might save up for a PSVR or an Oculus. I think everybody would agree that the Oculus Quest is probably the best investment, unless you have a PS4. If you have a PS4, you can find a PSVR headset on like OfferUp or Craigslist or something for like $100 or less. Like if you're strapped for cash, that is the way to do it. Go pick up a used PSVR from somebody who got sick because the first thing they did was go into a fucking roller coaster. Take that thing from them and have an amazing time, because you could do something like Astrobot without the Move controllers, and like that will blow your mind all over the wall. Or Resident Evil if you have the balls for it.
Yeah,
because Resident Evil is so intense, so scary.
That was a great game. That really was. But you know what is what just came out for the PlayStation, as well as all the other headsets like the Quest and the PC, is Pixel Ripped 1995. And you know, this is and this was a good segue into this, because you know, when you talk about most VR experiences, you know, going PC or Quest is usually the way to go. But PlayStation is currently the only VR headset that tracks your controller. And, you know, that worked really well in Pixel Ripped 1985. And, you know, they really took a lot of that in consideration. It works great. Don't get me wrong. It works great with the other headsets, too. I played this on the Quest. It was absolutely fantastic. But on the PlayStation, it's definitely something special as well.
And so, it's not out yet on PlayStation, right? Like, we're still waiting on it?
Yeah, that's right. It will. We are waiting on it, but it is coming. It is coming.
Sometime this summer, I think they said.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a solid date yet, just summer.
Yeah, and PlayStation is a great way to play this. But, you know, if you do want to play it now, Quest, fantastic. PC, fantastic. If you don't know what this game is about, there was another game called Pixel Rip 1985, and it goes back and it and it plays with video game styles of that time. And the first one, it was 1985. They were playing with like the Game Boy type of things and Nintendo. Now they've moved up to, you know, that Super Nintendo slash going up to, you know, right about to hit the 64-bit. Yeah. Yeah. So this is really great, man. This was a golden era in gaming. And these guys are great.
I was pretty much that age, dude. Like, yeah. When I, like, in 1995, I was 8. You know, like, I'm like the same age as the kid in the game. So for me, it really is like a time warp. Mm-hmm. And it's like the biggest honor of my life to have my image on one of the Game Hero cards in that game.
That's like, right. Dude. That's right. You're in the game. This guy is nice. In the game.
So such a huge honor. Like, you know, I've told this story before, but like the Pixel Rip team was kind of like the catalyst for me, like deciding I really need to get involved in this VR world. I went and helped them at VRLA 2018, have their booth for Pixel Rip 1989. And I connected with everybody and we had a great time. And I've just been like following the development, and I got to interview Anna at OC6 and hang out with the team there. So for them to include me was like, huge honor, man. Like, I never thought that I would have like my image or something connected with me put into a video game, especially one that like I like, and you know, like was like
excited. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool, man. Yeah, and now it's out on the quest.
Congrats. That's sick.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why I had to represent Pixel Rip 1995. Yeah. You haven't played it? It's on the freaking Oculus Quest. Go get it. Go get it.
I have it. The devs always send me the games, and I'm like, okay, I gotta try this one. That's on my short list to play. I'll be giving that one a try tonight. I've been looking forward to that one forever. It looks great. So that is super cool that you're in the game. That's like one of my like all-time like fantasies. Is like, I know it's a silly fantasy, but I'm like, I'm gonna be in a video game someday.
Me too, man. I gotcha. Definitely not, man.
That's why I'm like beside myself about it, for sure. And you probably didn't play 1989, did you?
Nope.
You didn't. Well, I'm excited for you. It's really fun. And personally, I think it works great because there's a lot of times on the quest and stuff, because there's a lot of times where your hands are separated and you need to like reach for something, yeah. You know, or like you're holding the controller and you want to like pick up one of the cards and marvel at the fact that you're in the game. Like, it helps to have. So where are we going next here, dude?
So, man, you know, I think real quick, let's talk about Big Screen real quick, because Big Screen is a program that people should pay extra attention to right now during this quarantine, because you can go in, you can hang out with your friends, and you can watch movies with people. You don't even have to watch movies. You can just go hang out and shoot the shit for a while, mm-hmm. You know, see your buddies, throw something on the tube, kick back and relax with your homies that, you know, you haven't gotten to see because you're stuck in quarantine. And this is a great app. And it's supposed to be coming to the PSVR. It was supposed to have been there already. Don't know where
Dude,
it is.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's on everything else and it's fantastic. If you're on a PC headset, you can invite 12 of your friends over and hang out. If you're on a Quest, you can invite 4 of your friends over, and it's really the experience. And now, you know, why we're bringing it up now is because they are now adding in all kinds of new features. Right now you can watch movies, official movies. You can go in there and you can hop in and at certain show times and watch movies with other people. You can also now get movies on demand, which is something they never offered before. So you'd be in a private theater and you'd be, you know, you can watch whatever you want. You can pause it. You got 48 hours to finish the movie. You know, but where this really, really, really shines is its social aspect, mm-hmm. really. I mean, this is super, just a great experience.
Dude, the video on demand thing is absolutely huge, because yeah. I've gone into Big Screen a couple of times socially just to like hang out and shoot the shit or whatever. But eventually it's like, okay, like, want to do something, you know? Yeah. And unless you're about to drop money on the movie, like, the random channels that you can drop into look like shit. They don't work well, you know, like, you can't control what's on the screen in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they look like shit. I think it looks pretty good.
They look decent, but they look nothing compared to what these VOD, what these video on demand videos are going to look like. These are like high quality, and you can go in and it's like having a list. It's like Netflix inside big screen now. So I'm super excited to go in there and like check some of that stuff out and maybe like watch a full movie.
It is, you know, but
the future, I think, of first run movies. I mean, that's where we're going to go. And with the Trolls World Tour, you know, so I think that was the first like full release that went straight to streaming. I was looking and I haven't been able to find any numbers on how well they actually did.
They did really well. It did really well to the point that AMC and Universal are now in a fight, and AMC theaters will no longer play Universal movies in any of their theaters across the world. Because they took Trolls World Tour to stream and made buko bucks. They did really well. Really well. And the theaters are putting their foots down. So it's a really interesting thing going on right now. And
like, our kids are going to be like, oh, that's like that old person thing, right? Where you go to see a movie in a theater. Like, what? Like, you're like, all right, come on. Let's go with grandma to the movie theater.
Kind of like how I drive-ins. It's like there's drive-in, then there was the theater. And then there was the big screen theater.
Yep.
It's like the natural progression.
That's and I think it's great in VR because, like I said before, I'm a huge consumer of media in VR, and it's, you know, especially like 3D content is just so good. But it's nice being able to have, you know, a huge movie theater size screen anywhere. You know, you pop on an airplane, you're watch a movie, and it just feels like you've got the space. And with the next generation headsets and improved optics, and obviously we're going to see better resolution and, you know, eye tracking with foveated rendering. So we're going to get what appears to be really high resolution. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's smart, a big screen. I've never been a big fan of theirs because, you know, like Alex was saying, sometimes it's like quality is not that great, and, you know, you come in at the middle of a movie. Well, you know, how much fun is that? You know, watching the latter half of a movie. But I think the video on demand. That's huge. There's
the TV stuff on demand that they have, just to put this in context, is all free stuff that's currently available on the internet, and a lot of it is old stuff that was filmed in 480. Right. So like you got Bob Ross stuff on there. You got old school 60s and 70s Doctor Who. Like, sure. But there's also legit movies you can rent, and the 3D movies look incredibly crisp and amazing, way better than you'll ever see with 3D glasses, I think. Just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, the one thing they're missing right now is the ability to rent one of those movies and then watch it with a friend. And they have talked about how, you know, they're going to try to implement that and get it so as long as the other person rents the movie as well, then you can go in and join. But this is, you know, this is all brand new. But yeah, I want to watch, you know, the whole point of big screen, watch movies with your friends, right? The other cool thing about big screen is you connect it to your desktop and you can watch anything on Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, Amazon Prime, have your homies come in and just chill and, you know, throw things at the screen and have a good time.
That quality for the
Plex
record,
server too.
Plex as well. Yeah, that's right.
That quality is still not as good as their native stuff, though. Like, if you go into the main lobby and like look at their preview screen, that will blow your mind. Like, the quality of that screen was like, I had no idea what I was missing until I went into the lobby and looked up at their preview. And I was like, holy shit, that looks crazy good. Yeah. And I do want to move on, but I do want to mention to your point earlier, Skiva, about it being a social thing. All they need to do to really get me in there and stay in there would be to like add like a chessboard over here or like a game of darts over there. Like simple interactions, something that we can do to like toss a ball back and forth.
And they need
something
to do that in the lobby for sure. They need to do that.
That would be a great way to help pass the time and keep people in the app.
Yeah. Or bring in a theater room to Rec Room.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
That would be sick.
That would be great for sure.
Yeah.
So one of the main things I really wanted to talk about today, I am really, really excited to talk about some Echo VR, right? So Echo has been around for a while, right? There was a game called Lone Echo that to this day blows people away. I mean, it was done a few years ago, but Ready at Dawn, the developers of this game, just completely crushed it. You're in a ship with somebody, and that one person, Olivia, is so detailed. You really feel like you're with a person. And the thing that they took into Echo Arena, though, is the Echo unit that you play in Lone Echo, and the whole way you move around is you're in zero gravity and you're bouncing off walls, and it's almost like movie Ender's Game. It's like they pretty much stole that, like, their maps right from the Ender's Game. Yeah, it really, really is. It's like if Ender's Game had a love baby with Tron, I would say. You know, which is great. I mean, how do you not want to play this right now, right? But the reason why we're talking about this is they've taken this game and they've brought it onto the Quest. And not only have they brought it onto the Quest, it's not like Robo Recall style where it's all fuzzy and pixelated. Like, they brought this to the Quest. They brought their A game.
It's good.
It works. It's good. Phenomenal. It works so good. I don't want to play the PC version anymore. I just don't. I have no reason to go in and stick my head in a wire, you know, to play this game. So with this game, what you're doing is it's kind of like soccer, right? There's arena and there's combat, and arena is what's coming to the Quest. And there's a goal on each side, and there's a disc that everyone is scrambling around to get, and you got to get the disc into into the opposite team's goal. Just like most games, but the way you float around in this game and just dart after the discs and just interact with your teammates and how you're able to, the whole VR multiplayer aspect of this that the Quest is missing so bad. It's like the biggest hole in the Quest is wanting to do things with your friends. And this, I think, is going to be the biggest thing to ever grace the Quest. Personally,
I agree entirely, dude. And Ty, I hear you agreeing with that sentiment over there right now.
Oh yeah. Are you guys on the beta?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's sick, and I agree. It's great where they've got like that community and then the play, and you can get your buddies together right there. And it's just kind of, I think, again, just it's kind of like the start of what I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of, hopefully, in the coming 12 to 18 months. I hope to see more titles like that and in the community stuff. But I agree. I think the graphics are great. The gameplay is great. The physics are great. Yeah, it's a solid title for sure.
It's super good.
I do just want to say real quick that the footage you're seeing is the PC version, just because that was the easiest thing for me to capture, and you're seeing me doing some gameplay here. But I'm telling you, man, if you just can't really tell the difference. There's almost
no difference. You can't. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it looks. Yeah, that's as good as it is.
And in 2 days, everyone can download this shit for free.
Every Quest owner can download
this game for free and play it. And, you know, my dad is a recent Quest owner. I've been talking about him a lot on this podcast just because it's so interesting, because he was never a gamer in his life. And now he has a Quest, and he's gotten all of his friends to get Quests. He has 8 people in his circle of Oculus Quest owners that he has created. He has sold Quest to 8 other people, and now he has a group of 8. And he's like, yo, like, what can me and my friends go into? Like, what can we do? And I'm like, Rec Room? And he's like, I tried that. And so I think, like, you know, Echo Arena, perfect. I don't know where the hell Horizons is. I wish I could have told him Horizons. I feel like Horizons is the answer to that. But Echo Arena is perfect. You can do private matches with 8 people, 4v4. They're all noobs. They're all new to VR and new to the game. They can go in there and bounce off the walls super slow together. Like, I bet you they would have a riot. Although he did get sick trying it. Should mention that.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Oh, bummer.
He's like, okay.
You are floating around. And, you know, one of the things about this game is you don't even have to, you know, honestly, sometimes I just go into this game and I don't even play a match. Sometimes I go into the lobby and I go into the practice areas, which are like half courts, and I just mess around and I just float around and relax, and I throw the disc around, play catch with people, play a little goalie, you know what I mean? Just mess around, just have fun and shoot the shit with people from all over the place and just float around.
You know what else is a great option for multiplayer on the Quest now, and I hope you have it queued up, is Hyper Dash.
Boom.
I played it. Yeah. I played Dude, okay, so Hyper Dash just became available on SideQuest. And Ty, do you want to take it from here? Have you played this one?
I have played it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Hyper Dash is kind of like a, I've only played it a few times. So I think it's like a teams of like four and four. Yeah, is that right?
I think it is.
Yeah. I think it's, so it's 4v4 and it's just, you know, it's kind of like capture the flag almost, where you've got a center area and you're trying to, you know, capture the area. But the gameplay is really, really good. It's very fast paced. I mean, Hyper Dash kind of says it all right there. But yeah, gameplay is great. Graphics are great. Physics are great. Your weapon choices are a ton of fun. Basically, you get killed and you respawn somewhere else. And so it's kind of a throwback to a lot of older style, you know, shooter versus shooter sort of games where you die, you respawn. But the whole Hyper Dash, you know, the quick motion thing, and they didn't, when I first started, I mean, I've been on the Hyper Dash since like early alpha, that wasn't working so well, but they've really got everything dialed now. And Alex, when did you say it was coming out officially?
It's out on SideQuest right now. You can go, okay. You can install it using SideQuest right now before you had to like jump through some hoops and like,
is it the full version? It's beta, right? It's still beta.
Yeah, it's still beta. Yeah. They're not, but the thing is, they're not charging you for it right now. It's just free. You can just go and download it from SideQuest.
Get it then on SideQuest. If it's on SideQuest now, everybody that's watching, go get Hyper Dash. It's a ton of fun. And if it's available publicly on SideQuest, even if they've got it on like itch.io or whatever that is,
it's not. You just install it straight from the SideQuest app. It's so nice.
Do it then.
Lord Spawn. Yeah. It's 5v5, and for me this game reminds me of like Team Fortress or Overwatch, yeah. But without hero classes, and there's just weapons on the map, so you like run and grab the weapon and now you have the new weapon that's an automatic or whatever, but everybody's like the same class,
or like a shield or
you can pick up a shield, which is super fun to use. The other thing that kind of separates this and makes it fun to be dual wielding is there's these tracks that you jump on, which are kind of like, it's kind of like grinding a rail with inline skates. You like jump on it and you ride the rail around, and then if you have two guns, you'll be like firing two directions while you're still moving. Like, it's epic.
Feeling super badass.
There's a domination game mode, and there's a payload game mode where you push the payload, which is why it really reminds me of Team Fortress and Overwatch.
Yeah.
And I had a blast. I can't believe it's free. Get SideQuest, put Hyper Dash on there, and there is a multiplayer experience like literally just waiting for us right there.
For sure. I had a lot of fun with this as well. I had a lot of fun with this game as well. You know, I think one of the things that definitely sets it aside is this is the grinding, the rail grinding mechanic on it. It's just so fun, right? You're just grinding down these rails, taking down everyone in your path. You know, and the whole payload thing, right? Where you gotta escort this payload from one side of the map to the other. You have to defend it while everyone else is trying to take it out. Definitely a ton of fun. Good stuff. Highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see what else we got going on here.
Speaking of Hyper Dash, so that just reminded me of Dash Dash Racing. So I don't know if anybody's like a racing fan. You're like the Mario Kart type of games, but the Dash Dash World, that's a good game. So you can find it on Discord. I don't think that they're out on SideQuest yet or publicly available, but they've got a huge beta, lots of players. And anybody who's a fan of Mario Kart, very similar, you know, you can pick up, you know, I think they even have like turtle shells, you know, that you can throw at people and so different power-ups. But if you like racing games, I think right now Dash Dash is the best racing game on the Quest for sure.
Nice. So,
slight tangent, similar word, dash.
Right on. Yeah. You know, I haven't played that game yet, but there's one that's similar. What's the one that's really similar? It looks like a Mario Kart ripoff, kind of, right? Where you're
Fatal Dash or Fatal
Kart.
Death Race.
It's like,
something Kart. Touring Karts. Yeah, Touring Karts. Yeah, it's very, it looks very similar to Touring Karts, which I don't think is even on SideQuest, but it is a fun game. Dude, you know, someday, it's like my ultimate dream to get into a Mario Kart someday. Like, when that happens, like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my damn mind, dude, man.
There's one on the East Coast in California somewhere, man.
I know,
next time we're out there for a convention or something, we got to make the trip.
Absolutely. I know it was just in London for a while. First, it was just in Asia, somewhere in China, I believe. And then it came to, oh no, it was in Japan. And then it came to London, and then they brought one over here too. But man, you know, the day that I can just come down, grab my Switch or whatever the heck it is. Yeah.
Yeah, is that a VR thing that's touring around where you're actually playing Mario Kart, but it's in a headset, right?
Yep. They use Vives, cool. And they use these custom rigs, you know, with Vive trackers and stuff like that. And everyone that's played it said it's absolutely phenomenal. But I can't wait till we have that shit at home, because I love Mario Kart, man. That's like the best racing game ever, and I want to get into a Mario Kart.
And I want to see if Nintendo does anything except like beyond the Labo VR.
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for a little while. Yeah. They're always behind the curve when it comes to technology, you know, but they succeed because of their IP, because no one else is Mario, Zelda, Donkey Kong, you know, they got killer titles.
Yeah, so. They find ways to innovate other than technological.
They make simple fun.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be super techy, or, you know, it doesn't have to be the most advanced thing. They keep to the basics, the tried and true, you know, four buttons, mm-hmm. one joystick, and we're going to make this game a ton of fun just to play.
Yeah. Totally.
Which I get with a lot of the VR. You know, I see a lot of people complaining that, it's, you know, the quality isn't good enough. This doesn't look super real. And sometimes it's not about super high-end graphics. You know, it might just be about playability. Is it a fun game to play?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I gotta plug in my laptop here.
Yeah, no worries.
Tom Clancy, before we move on, X-Wing Simulator, please. There is a VR mission on Battlefront 1, Star Wars Battlefront 1, that puts you in the cockpit of an X-Wing. And if you haven't done it, it's easy to get Battlefront 1, and it's worth like the $5 or whatever to play
there's,
the VR
there
mission.
Is a free. There's also a free game where you get to take an X-Wing down the trench run on the Death Star. And it's a free experience on the PC, and I can't remember what it's called, but it was done, I think, by a college student or something. And
it looks really good. Mm-hmm. It's, I know the one. Yeah. I have it actually.
Oh, yeah.
but it's great. Yeah, where you go and you do the trench run on the X-Wing, and it's just a fan-made game.
Yeah,
but it's really, really well done, and it is free. Your PC needs to be kind of up to spec a little bit to play it, or it will stutter a bit on it. I know the game, and I'll drop a comment later once I can find it, if anybody's interested in that. But yeah, that's a great
one. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to ask any of our new viewers to click the subscribe button. We're trying to grow our community, and it's with people like you that we're going to be able to do it. Thank you from Between Realities.
We always forget to say that shit. We need to say shit right at the beginning. We always forget.
What's next?
So this experience really, I was really excited to try this. So there's this new experience called Sound Self, and this is on PC, and it's said to be like tripping in VR. And what they do is they take the input of your microphone, and they use sound and sounds that you make during like a meditation to fill your space with these intense visuals. And it's almost, you know, it's like the closest looking thing to a DMT trip I've ever seen.
What kind of sounds are you making while you're meditating?
So they ask you. Exactly. They ask you to make sounds like that. They like make long tones, you know, and you know. So you do, and as you change the tones, the visuals kind of change, and it's very, very weird. It's pretty cool.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool, but I think, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this experience is $30. And if I paid $30 for this, I'd be pretty mad. But I tell you, for like,
what's
this
it called?
Was like, it's called Sound Self.
Okay. Technodelic.
Technodelic. Yeah. But I mean, the dude put a lot of work into this. He really did. I mean, I've listened to some interviews with him, and you know, he's programmed this almost like an artificial intelligent thing, and it really is neat. It's just not $30 neat, it's, you know, probably $15 neat, but you know, and it's only about a half hour long, but it's to meditate. You're supposed to chill out, and you know.
Yeah, so I also jumped in there today, and I had the chance to take this for a spin. And I've mentioned in the show before that I have done some like extensive meditation in my life. I lived in Sedona, Arizona for 2 years and drank like the New Age Kool-Aid there and was doing Kung Fu and meditation by the creek and like Qigong practice. And I have done mantra where like we're doing push-ups and like, oh, my bad, like making weird sounds while we're doing them and shit. Like I've done some crazy stuff. So I've also like dabbled in hallucinogenic experience too. So I have seen all of the like the real things that these are trying to emulate. And the first thing I'll say is that it almost seems like the better singer you are, because you are vocalizing so much, the better of an experience you're going to have in this. This is definitely meditation. Like it's not a game, you know, like this is a tool. Like this is something that you use to meditate every day with, or like every other day to like help give you that guided meditation experience. You do have to kind of like let your, you know, let your guard down and like not worry, like hopefully nobody's home, because like you are like doing the ohms and stuff, and it trashed my voice. Like I did the half hour thing and by the end I couldn't do it anymore, because like it's with every breath, like you inhale and it like moves you through the world, and then when you exhale it's like ooh. And it echoes your voice in your ear. Like you connect with all the sound. And there was literally times where it had a transcendental feeling for me. I could no longer feel the air being pushed out of my lungs. And I was just like pure vibration. Like I was vibrating. The music was like everything was just like, like I was connected to the vibration of the ears and everything. Like they actually have accomplished something pretty cool. Is it an acid trip? No. Not gonna get there with this. But is it meditation? Absolutely. It is 100% meditation. Like it's not the meditation that I've practiced and that I would choose to do if I was going to go and meditate myself right now, but it is 100% meditation. And if you have been interested in meditating, go into a soundproof room and try it. Like it will definitely teach you how to meditate, or at least give you a meditative like experience for however you do it. Two other things that I need to mention about it. Don't do a half hour if you're going to try this game. That's a long time. Like start with like the 15 minute one, because like I said, it took a lot out of my voice to do it. And the other thing is that it's not like the image is not a full 360 image. Like if you turn your head over here, it will take what I was looking at and reposition it over here, and it will break my immersion to do so. So
right.
So like I wanted to like look around and it was like black, black, black. And that seems like a little weak. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Encapsulating thing. But, you know, again, you really shouldn't be doing that because it's meditating, right? Like, boom, sit there, let the thing guide you, your breath, and do it. So $30, that sounds like a lot. But did I transcend a little bit? Yeah. Yeah. I did.
I agree. It was super cool, man. It was super cool. It connects you to sound unlike anything I've ever seen before. So pretty neat.
I will have to give that a try.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Alex, did you try this in your HTC Vive Pro with your new lens adapters?
I did.
So Alex just modded his HTC Vive Pro with the Gear VR lenses. And why don't you tell us about that?
I was a little hesitant. If you watched the episode with Tyrael Wood, we were talking about the fact that I had a Vive, and he like stopped the show to be like, oh, dude, you got to put the Gear VR lenses in your HTC Vive Pro. I'm like, hold on a second. You're telling me I should take a $5 headset from eBay? Pop the lens out and put it into my $1,200 HTC Pro headset. And he's like, just trust me, man. He's like, I'm going to 3D print some lens adapters for you. I'm going to send them to you. Get a gear, put the lenses in this thing. And Ty was even nice enough to like talk to me on Skype. I called him. I'm like in my robe from the morning. And like, he's like talking me through it as I'm like, literally taking a fucking hammer to the Gear VR on my Twitter.
To my old Gear VR.
to Skiva's Gear VR. And I posted a picture on my Twitter of just this like pile of headsets. It's just like completely ravaged. But If you've ever used a Vive Pro, you would notice that the lenses have these rings on them, and it really produces this what they call God ray effect, which is kind of like a beam of light that like stretches throughout the, like the length of everything. Mm-hmm. And when I put these Gear VR lenses in, I had to do a little bit of software modification to like adjust the image so it like refracts the light properly for the new lens. There's ways to follow online. It's a little complicated, but I managed to get it done. And it looks gorgeous. Like the screens, it's like crystal clear compared to the way it used to be. It's almost like my lenses were like dirty. Play Beat Saber. You don't clean off the lenses. Next time you go in, it's like dirty. Dude, it was like night and day. I can't believe how much clearer and how much brighter the colors are using these Gear VR lenses, man. It's insane.
I've wanted to mod even my Quest with the Gear VR lenses because those are traditional lenses. You know, they're not the Fresnel lenses, which I understand, you know, you've got a much closer focal plane, which is why they... kind of baffled me why Oculus has chosen to use the Fresnel lenses when I know they can use regular lenses because they had it in the Gear VR.
Right. So why do they? That's the question, right? Everyone that tries this is like, oh my God. So the question is, why are they using Fresnel lenses?
Right? Because I think because you can get the screen like this close to the lens, and it just the way the Fresnel lenses refract, so they can be, you know, those lenses are only this thick, so they're really, really thin, and so the whole device can be much narrower, so it's not hanging so far off your face. The farther it gets off your face, the more you've got leverage, the more it's feel front heavy, and they're doing, and they're lighter because it's, I don't know if you've ever seen those people that pull out the Fresnel lenses from those old rear projection TVs and make death rays where they can like burn pennies with the sun. But the lenses themselves are, you know, it's a 16th of an inch thick. So they're really, really thin and very light. But I would gladly give up a little bit of weight and maybe a slight amount of more front heaviness to have just traditional lenses like you've got in the Gear VR. So I don't really know why, other than they're saving a little, little bit of money and space.
Dude, you should try. Yeah, that would be I feel like if anyone was going to try it, it should be Tyco Tech. You've got a 3D printer. You can design the lens adapter.
Seriously about doing it.
Dude.
I you would have to rebuild a lot to it. And I don't know, like you said, you needed a software mod for the way that it was displayed. Now, was that a single panel on that HTC or is it two individual screens?
No, it's dual.
Is it dual? Mm-hmm. So I'm not versed enough to start coding and saying, okay, this is how, you know, what we need to change to actually make it work correctly with the lens. So
to fix the distortion, you got to go in and mess with some files, right? And that would probably be a lot harder on the Quest.
If only you had a community of 20,000 people that could help you.
You're right. Maybe I'll put out a call to help in the group and say, hey, if anybody wants to try to tackle this with me, and maybe we can find a Quest somewhere someone can donate to the cause, because that would be an amazing mod. If you could just 3D print the part, and then here's a file you sideload, you know, just run this APK, and it will modify distortion correction. That was such a big difference. That would just, I don't know why they use the Fresnel lenses. I hate the God rays. It drives me nuts. You get used to it after some time. That's the first thing everybody bitches about. You know, they get in there and they're like, oh, it's like, what is this? It's dirtier. You know, is something on the lens, or why is it hazy?
And the Valve Index, man, it doesn't have God rays, but it has this glare that is kind of relentless in darker scenes. You know, it's kind of a bummer because it's, you know, you got to wonder, they claim to have this crazy lens technology, right? They double stack the lenses to increase the field of view, but it's like, man, why don't you just make it clearer? That would be a little better.
I have a question I've been wanting to ask you. So you've done a lot of modding to your Quest. You know, you are very well versed in pretty much all of the available options as far as options are concerned with the Quest. If you were going to, like, if you, like, you know, had like a close family member who is new to VR, who just bought a Quest, like, what would be like the two or three just like essential things that you have to do that would make their experience so much better?
Oh, and I know people aren't going to like this, but the FrankenQuest, the HTC5 Deluxe Audio Strap, that's a huge mod. That's definitely something I would recommend to just about everybody. It personally, for me, it makes it more comfortable. It makes it easier to share because you've got a dial adjustment. So you just tighten it, loosen it. You're not dealing with the straps. It evenly tightens left and right when you dial it down in the back. Audio quality is much better than what you're getting out of stock. So that would probably be one of the first things. Second would be get the, and this is just a shout out, I guess, or here's some free promo for AMVR, get the AMVR grips. They're cheap, you know, 20, sure. 25 bucks, gotta have the grips. Whoever designed the original controllers had tiny, tiny hands, you know, so they're not meant for people with big hands. And I don't have ginormous hands, but it feels weird. And when I first got it, I immediately just hopped on and started, you know, playing Beat Saber. And Beat Saber is not a game that you can stop and adjust your hands. And I would find that the battery covers would sometimes start to slip. You know, the cover would start to be coming off, and the controller would be slowly kind of slipping out of my hands. So the AMVR, and I've tried all of them. I've got the Mammoth grips. I've got every grip possible. AMVR, hands down, is the best to get. So definitely go with the AMVR.
They're our favorite as well, for sure. And
is the Asterion.
Oh, Asterion, that's right. Yeah. Asterion, yeah.
About the Asterion, just the silicone, right? It's just like a silicone sleeve.
Yeah, because that fixes the battery.
I have those. I like those.
And I can use those in all. Rather than just Beat Saber with the AMVR grips, which I love.
No, I'm not talking about these. So I actually just happen to have these on the table. Not these, just the regular AMVR controller grips with the plastic that goes over. Not this. This is great for Beat Saber, yes, but this takes time to change. And I just happen to have this sitting on my table. I'm talking about the regular. I'd say, yeah, I like that you've got the band across the back of your hand, you know, and it's that it's a softer elastic compared to Mammoth, which is using like shoelaces almost with very little give. AMVR does have that elastic, which has silicone along the back, so it helps prevent it from sliding. And depending on how you want to hold it, I actually tend to like keep a pinky finger out of it, and I just go through my top finger. But you can have it go across the back of your hand, right across your knuckles. I do like the Asterion grips, and it's funny that you mentioned them because Asterion, I reviewed their silicone grips for the Oculus Go, and I just bought them. I really liked them. I was like, oh, you got to have this for your Go controller, the One controller. They reached out to me. Had a lot of views, and they're like, oh, we saw you did a review for us for the Go grips. You want to do you want to review or check out our grips for the Quest? And I was like, oh yeah, send it to me. I'm in really good with Asterion. They're good people, so I definitely love the products and I love their company. But grips for me, I have to say AMVR, just because they've got that extra handle, or you know, the band that goes over. You're not dropping them. I mean, I can literally go like this and let the grips, but they're not going anywhere. They stay on my hands.
Right. So your brother buys the FrankenQuest, or you know, the Deluxe Audio Strap mod. He buys these grips. What's like the last thing that you think that he's missing?
Oh God. Well, probably facial interface replacement.
The VR cover.
I'm not a big. That's what I'm using currently is the VR cover, but I tend to get bored, you know, and I've got every accessory under the sun. So I swap them out, you know, I'll use this accessory for a while and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to use this one for a little bit now. I like the VR cover is one of my favorites. I like the stock cover actually with the SMN silicone cover. I don't know if you've seen those, so the silicone face covers. And then I pair that with the VR cover cotton cover. That's a really, really good combination because the silicone prevents your sweat from soaking through and ruining your actual headset, because you can, you know, I've sweated hard and you're like, man, there's sweat going all the way up to the front of the unit because it's cloth. This will prevent any seepage, but the silicone alone gets slippery. I'm not a huge fan of the silicone, especially if you're doing something active because it's sliding all over. You throw on a VR cover, cotton cover, and you've got the best of every world. It's cotton. so it's nice and soft, but it's enough to absorb any sweat, but it doesn't absorb through the silicone into the headset itself, and you get two cotton covers. So if you want to pass it off to someone, it's pretty quick to just pull the cotton off, throw a new cotton one on, give it to someone, they've got a fresh, clean headset, and their funk is not going to get all over your headset. You know, right. If they get that cotton cover gross, you can just wash that.
No funk allowed. Down.
So no funk. You can't share the funk. Mm-hmm. So that's, I would say some sort of a facial interface, whether or not it's like that route, yeah. Or
it's funny. Know, it's Ambient, funny you say well. That. Mm-hmm. I have on my Quest, I have the VR cover front pleather interface, and then I have the back pleather interface, and then I take the front cloth, the VR cover cloth, and I put it over the pleather one. And then the combination of that, man, I can wear that thing for 8-9 hours a day, no problem.
The back one's huge.
The back one is huge.
I mean, I love the VR cover stuff. Mm-hmm. But that cotton cover, yeah, that's great. I think it's one of the most like underrated, unknown accessories. You know, I never see anybody post about it in the group, but yeah, that cotton cover is great. And you can use it on the stock interface by itself. You can use it with the silicone. Yeah. You can use it with an AMVR facial interface or the VR cover facial interface. Super versatile. And I like that it comes with dose, so you can swap them out if one gets gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the one thing we can all agree on is that stock Quest by itself is not enough. You definitely need to mod this thing to make it awesome.
You want to mod it.
Yeah.
And lastly, battery. You want a battery, an external battery, you know, whether or not you're going to mount it to the back using just simple stick-on Velcro, you know, Velcro. And I've seen people strap it, which I think is silly. Get some super sticky Velcro with the hook, the loop, stick the hook onto the headset, stick the loop onto your battery, and then you can easily attach and remove your battery if you need it. Don't wrap straps of Velcro around it because that's not very convenient. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good battery, 10,000 milliamp battery, I think, is more than enough. A lot of people are like, oh, I got a 30,000 milliamp anchor. And I'm like, dude, are you going to play for 19 hours straight?
I bought the external battery made by Rebuff Reality. And I'm still waiting for it to come, but I saw it at CES 2020 and got to check it out, and it was really awesome. I have
that battery. In fact, right here is the rubber back from that battery, because I did a video on it and how to mod it for your FrankenQuest. I like the battery. It's very, very well made. It provides a lot of power. So with all my batteries, I'll run them through a voltmeter to see, you know, what we're getting output-wise. And you are getting... you know, 5 volts at just under 3 amps. So it's enough to power and charge while using it simultaneously. You're going to go up, pop on. But it's $60. Yeah. And that's a little bit pricey. And, you know, it fits great on the stock head strap. So you've got the stock. It's really smart. The design is very clever. And if you just wear the stock head strap, then I think it's a good choice. But for a fraction of the cost, you can get so Rav Power is a company that I've been a fan of their batteries forever, and in some of my other accessory videos, I've mentioned some larger Rav Power batteries. I have some 20,000 milliamps. They saw the videos and they reached out to me. They're like, "Hey, we've got some other batteries. Can we send you some?" And I was like, "Yeah, I love your batteries." And I've got the Rav Power File Hub Plus. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but that's a little accessory that if you travel.
Oh.
Absolute must have. It's a little box. It's about the size of a portable hard drive, and it's got a 6,700 milliamp battery and an SD card and Ooh. Ethernet port, a USB port, and it creates its own DNA wireless server. So you can plug in like a 5 terabyte portable hard drive and then connect to its Wi-Fi on your headset, open up Skybox Player, and boom, you've got a massive library anywhere you go. 5 people can stream on it at the same time.
You know, I have one of those. I brought it with me to CES and never even used it. So, yeah, you know, I never even thought to use that as my Quest charging battery. Duh.
You can, I mean, you could plug it in, you know, put some Velcro on it, strap it to the back of your head, plug it in, and then... Now you're occupying the USB port for power, but just get like a 512 gigabyte micro SD card. They're dirt cheap now. And then you can put a ton of movies, stick that into the SD card slot on it, and boom, you've got a portable little movie library.
So will Skybox and stuff, will that just read right off the USB that's in there? Yeah, it's a great.
Yeah, so
great
the Rad Power File Plus will, you can load media on an SD card or on a USB hard drive, thumbstick, whatever. And when you connect to the wireless hotspot that it creates a DLNA media server. And so when you go into Skybox and you go to network, and you'll see there's the Rav Power. It's one of the media servers, and you just click it. You can go through folders, sort by genre. Like, it does. There's a few ways to sort through it. It works really, really well, and plenty of power. So if you're on a really long flight, you know, you can use that as your battery and as your media server. But anyways, kind of circle back. Dude, they sent me some batteries that I really like. They've got a their power delivery batteries. So I don't know, like, I'm a techie guy, and like, it's not like the Quest is the only thing tech related that I own. I've got phones and switches, you know, and all sorts of stuff, and I want good batteries that'll charge everything quickly. They sent me a couple of their new power delivery batteries, and I've got one in a 10,000 milliamp flavor and a 20,000 milliamp flavor, and they're perfect. And actually, I 3D designed a battery holder so that they mount to the back. It fits them like a glove, or you can use it for other batteries too. But it will charge the Quest faster than the wall charger will. And it'll charge, like, you know, charge my Note 10 Plus. It charges it at about 1% every 45 seconds. It's insane.
Wow.
Wow. Nice. It's awesome. Well, thanks for that, because I have one of those sitting around. I haven't been using it. Now I have a reason for it.
If you do a lot of photography and stuff, that's one of the original reasons I got it, is that you can take your SD card out of your camera, stick it in, hit one button, and it'll back up that SD card that's plugged in. So I'm like, okay, this is a great way for me in the field to just quickly back up everything on this SD card.
Nice.
And I realized, it does so much more. You could plug it into your Ethernet at your hotel.
Yeah.
All hotels will give you free.
That's why I got it.
But you
got
to pay for the wireless. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then just plug it in, and then boom, it creates a little wireless hotspot, and you can have five different devices access the internet. You're paying for one wireless internet on it. Then you can share it with five other devices. So, you know, it doesn't have to have a paid Wi-Fi at the hotel. Plus, then your wife has a paid Wi-Fi. But yeah, it's like a little Swiss Army knife. I like
that. Yeah, that's cool, man. There's one more thing we got to get to, and I'll do a hard segue into it. Speaking of mods, Half-Life Alyx has an extremely good mod. And if you are a Half-Life Alyx fan, I urge you to go do this. Like I said, I know that was a hard turn, but we're running out of time on the show, and we have to talk about this. Yeah. Sadly, it's Bradley made a mod for Half-Life Alyx called Crash Course. And I played it today, and it took me about an hour to beat. And it's basically like getting an extra level in Half-Life Alyx. You played it today, right, Skiva?
I did.
What'd you think?
So I thought it was pretty cool. I unfortunately ran into a whole bunch of bugs that kind of messed up my experience. Like the candle thing that you need to get through the air ducts, you know, got stuck in the wall and I couldn't pull it back out. There was some stupid things like that. But other than that, if I look around, you know, the odd bugs, it was fun. There was some challenging combat in it.
There was.
There was some really cool, some decently cool level design. I mean, you can, you know, don't get me wrong, this looks really good, but you can definitely tell it's not Valve quality level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you load it twice?
Did I load it twice?
Yes.
What do you mean?
When you put it in the folder, right? You take the map, you drop it into the maps folder, then you open up the game, and then you hit the button to open up the console, and then you type in.
Oh, I didn't do any of that. So the way I run my mods for Half-Life is there's a really easy executable called the Half-Life Mod Launcher. I think it's just called Half-Life Mod Launcher. Yeah. And you just drag and drop any mod on top of it, and it just launches great.
So in the explanation of how to do this, it says, yo, load the map and then make sure you load it again. Otherwise, the scripts won't run right. So I bet you that's what happened for you, because I had a super smooth experience, and I didn't think it was janky at all. I thought it was really, really good.
It was just things like that candle getting stuck in the wall. You know, it wasn't like anything too crazy. It was like some Boneworks jank almost. Okay. You know what I mean? Where you're walking by something and it clips into a wall and then it just kind of screws you up and you spend the next 10 minutes trying to get it out of the wall. And you know, that was really it. It actually ran really smooth. It ran, the lighting looked great. You know, like I said, the combat was fantastic. There was an, you know, a crazy abundance of ammunition and the resin to find. So it was definitely a lot of fun. And any chance, any reason to get back into Half-Life, I'm all over it, man, because this game is a game changer for sure.
I think this mod is super good. I'm definitely more enthusiastic about it than Skiva. And that's so weird because I thought you'd be like blowing up about it. I thought it was awesome. It really, to me, I mean, I know it's not Valve, but it felt like an extra level. And my hat goes off to, sadly, it's Bradley for it, because I had a blast playing it.
Yep. Can you put a link to that down in the video description?
Absolutely.
I'll come back and check it out. Let's link to that for everyone.
I think it was probably the best mod that I've played so far for it.
For sure.
For sure. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to count like the Wolfenstein one, because that was really, you know, just bringing you back into some nostalgic old game. But yeah, they really, hats off to them, because this dude was able to create an entire level that didn't look anything, with things that didn't even happen in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were certain things, you know, you grab a crowbar and you break, you know, obviously they didn't put the crowbar in the beginning of the game, but you break the glass and you grab a gun, and you know, they did some really, really cool things, and they did it all without the use of the official Valve SDK that isn't released. I mean, that blows my mind, because once this SDK comes out for this game, I feel like this is just a huge game changer. People are going to make amazing things with this, with the Source 2 engine.
Games, dude.
Dude, they're going to make all kinds of shit, man. Like Team Fortress came from Source 1, and like just so many good games. It's like five legit mainstream games now that came from Half-Life 2, you know? So this is a great thing for VR.
And to circle back to what we were talking about earlier with my headset, this is the first time I'd seen the Half-Life Alyx environment with my Samsung Gear, and I was like taken back by how clear everything was. I uploaded a video of the gameplay of this thing today, and the first thing I do is look at a head crab, and I'm like, holy shit. And you would think I'd never looked at a head crab before. You know, like,
no, there was. Did you see that there was a head crab in there that wasn't in the actual game?
Dead one.
With the teeth. Yeah, it was a head crab that had all those crazy teeth, and it was kind of shiny.
Yeah, I'm glad he incorporated that model.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought it was pretty much there, right? I think we've pretty much touched on everything. We always do a giveaway every week.
Yes.
We do a giveaway on our show, and Skiva draws a winner and contacts them. And who was our winner from last week?
Okay, so I'm going to... Oh, man, this is a hard name. I think Andre. I'm guessing the J is a Y. Andre? Dvorak. Andre Dvorak.
Dvorak?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have already contacted him. I know he's not gonna miss this, you know, because we were saying his name wrong. But but yeah, no, he what did he grab? We have some great new games in the prize giveaway.
Did he take Moss? I think he took Moss on Steam, right?
Man, I really got to write this stuff down, don't I? Yeah,
we always try to talk about like the winner and what they got, and we're like, "So who got did they get?"
Totally. But yeah, no, this was it was cool, and we did throw some new games in here too as well. So we got like Grip Combat Evolved in there now, and what else? Fallout 4 VR is in there. There's some cool stuff that you can win in here for sure.
I still need to get Fallout 4.
Oh, dude, that is a long, very involved game. You know, super AAA, awesome game, but at the same time, not built from ground up for VR. So don't expect to be picking things up. But definitely awesome, and it was great. Great that Andre, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, is able to do. He's from the Czech Republic, actually, and we talked a little bit about his beautiful country that he lives in. So
nice.
So congratulations to him. Yeah, for. Winning this game. Please go down into the description and click on that giveaway, and you have 8 different ways that you can enter to win. We're just giving away lots of stuff, so if, I mean, unless you don't like free stuff,
Don't bother. So, Ty Heard, our guest today. Thank you so much for joining us, man. If people are, you know, if they need help with their quest or, you know, they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way, man? How what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Probably through the Facebook group. So yeah, just drop a link down in the description over to the Facebook group. You can find me there. I do have a page, Tycho Tech, on Facebook, but I encourage you to just PM me directly. You'll find me in the group, Ty Heard. I am the admin of the group. Just PM me directly. It's just much more seamless. The messaging for Facebook pages is not the same as it is for individual accounts. So I tend to miss a lot of messages. So just, yeah, hit me up in the Facebook group, easy like that. And then also, if you have any questions, you can on anything technical, I got a ton of videos. So come stop by the channel. You can ask there too. I got a lot of viewers that will also respond because I do get a lot of comments on some tech videos, you know, thousands, and I can't respond to everybody, but the community is really, really helpful. They will help you as well. But if you need some personal interaction, best way is to find me on Facebook.
Well, like I said, man, you know, thanks for joining us on the show and thank you for everything you do in the VR community. You know, a lot of people, the first time that they ever even get involved in VR is the Quest. And it's really cool when they start to realize that they can expand, that they have someone who is like super nice and welcoming like you to kind of be their shepherd along the modding process for their Quest, man. So keep up the great work, dude. We really appreciate you.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Maybe half the people in the group don't even realize that I am Tycho Tech, so they'll be asking questions. Like, oh dude, I was watching your video before I got the Quest, you know, I had to get ready for it. I'm like, that's you.
But it's definitely awesome channel.
Yeah,
everything is in the description. Most of the links that that Ty mentioned is in the description. You can go down there and find all his stuff. I highly encourage you to go down and subscribe to his channel because you can get a lot of answers for a lot of different questions that you might have. The community is absolutely huge and very active.
Yeah. Dude, you'll get answers for questions you didn't even know you had. You'll be like, wait, I can do what? And you'll be
The stuff you can do, you don't. Most people don't even realize. They're like, oh, I can stream videos directly from my phone to my headset wirelessly anywhere. Yeah, man, load up a 3D video on your SD card. You got a wireless stuff like that. So really, really helpful. If you just got a Quest, you have no clue yet what it can do. It's amazing.
It is dope. Thank you guys for joining us, and definitely don't miss next week's episode, episode 14. We have the very, very popular Mr. Gamertag VR joining us. We are very excited. Everyone loves Gamertag VR. He's super active. That dude is like streaming and reviewing shit like every single day, man. He, as Anthony,
one of the hardest
from
workers.
VR, that's what Anthony says. Anthony says, move over, PD. Move over, PD. Gamertag VR. So we're super excited to have him on the show, and you know, he's gonna have a long day because he does the VR link, which is like twice the length of our podcast in the morning, and then he's gonna join us on our show later. So
after doing probably multiple streams that day too, is legitimately one of the hardest workers.
He's a machine.
Yeah, he is.
He's always on somewhere. Mm-hmm.
And we're excited to hang out with him. So thanks again, Ty, Skiva. Thank you so much for putting all the scenes together, pushing the buttons, and making this podcast.
And I do know that Ty is kind of shrinking and expanding this whole time. And I promise, guys, I'm going to figure this out one of these days.
I didn't say you were good at it. I just said thanks. I didn't say you were good at it. And thank you, guys.
Yeah, I popped over and looked every now and then. I'm like, wait. I'm like, what's going on?
We're going to continue to iron out for the rest of the first season, which will end after 15 episodes, by the way. We are going to take a break after episode 15, in case you were unaware, and then we'll come back with season 2 with some new branding and all that bullshit. Thanks again. We will see you guys next time. Have a lovely evening. Take care.
Cheers.